Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is the Lamp and Light broadcast coming to you from Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry that takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is, to men as they are, without compromise or apology, while at the same time speaking the truth in love, giving the lamp and light to all. Yesterday, in our study of Daniel chapter 11, we were taught that it is not the greatness that you achieve in man's eyes that matters, but the work that we do according to the will of God. Let's continue with that thought today. And now, here is our teacher and radio pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
I find it quite interesting, my friend, that we get so involved in numbers in our churches that we begin to compromise our standards. We begin to let things go by that we should not let go by. And it does gain a name among people. But in the long run, it diminishes our reward in heaven. God's will must always, always, always be God's way. And we must also understand that those that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Look back at New Testament ministry. Look at the ministry of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ fed 5,000 the first time. The second time he feeds 4,000. He has his 12 with him, but finally they scatter, and he's standing in the garden alone with his Roman captors. The Apostle Paul, near the end of his life, had done great things for the Lord, and boy, great ministries are built. And yet, near the end of his life, he speaks of being alone. One guy's gone here, another guy's gone there, someone else is there. And he said, please come see me, you know. And so we find that even their ministries kind of dwindled near the end. And so it wasn't numbers that made them great. It was their work for the Lord that was according to the will and way of God. And that's what you have to do. You have to have eternity set in your heart so that as you do the work of God, you're doing it God's way. And so that you'll know that even though men may reject it, mock it, hate it, and what have you, that one day your reward will be great in heaven. Of course, coming back to our text, Alexander's kingdom was broken when he stood up, and that refers to his early death at the age of 32. So isn't it interesting, here in four verses, we've gone from the moment Daniel is writing this, and it talks about some more kings of Media-Persia to follow this writing, and then Greece, and Alexander the Great, and the fact that Alexander is not going to last long. He's going to die early, and he does at the age of 32. The kingdom is divided to the four winds. And we studied that in chapter 8. And I'll eliminate here a couple of pages of reading by telling you that after Alexander's death, there was a lot of infighting resulting in all of Alexander's posterity being destroyed. There was a battle which took place in 301 B.C., after which the land was divided in four directions, with one of the Grecian generals ruling each area. So the four generals each had an area that they would rule. None would rule according to the power and the dominion by which Alexander ruled. The divisions were mainly as follows. Cassander took Macedonia. Lysimachus took Asia Minor, and mainly what we look at as modern Turkey. Seleucus Nicator took Syria and the remainder of the Middle East. In our text, this area will often be called the Kingdom of the North. And then Ptolemy took Egypt. Now, these kingdoms warred against one another, and eventually all lost their kingdoms. Divided we fall. And they pretty well proved that. And they fell as the Romans marched eastward. Verses 5 through 35 will deal with only two of the kingdoms. The kingdom of the north, the Seleucids, which we said was Seleucus Nicator and taken Syria, and the kingdom of the south, which was Ptolemy, who took Egypt. And that will be the focus. And the reason I believe they're the focus is because these two relate directly to Israel. Again, the Ptolemies are the kings of the south, the Seleucids, the kings of the north. And so verses 5 through 20 gives a running history of the Ptolemies and the Seleucids until Antiochus Epiphanes. Particularly, the challenge here will be to know which king is being referred to in the text as we go along. That's why I encourage you to have pencil and paper, because we are really going to jump back and forth on these kings. And it would be very easy for you to miss it. It's hard enough for me having the notes in front of me to follow it, okay? So I hope that you'll follow along. Now, understand two things about this. Everything written in this chapter is at the time of the writing prophetic. In other words, nothing here has happened yet. But it is this very chapter that caused liberals to date the book of Daniel as a first century writing instead of a fifth century writing, because they felt like, oh no, it was too accurate. It was so accurate, they felt like, no, that couldn't have been prophetic. It was historical. And you know, that really flew with some people until the finding of the Dead Sea Scrolls. And that hurt their case. Now, for us, the finding of the Dead Sea Scrolls was very important. The Dead Sea Scrolls are not actually of the Masoretic text that we use for the Old Testament. So that's not the blessing of them. The blessing of them is the fact that they prove for us the older writing of Daniel. And so that's why we're thankful for the Dead Sea Scrolls. Everything centers on Israel in prophecy. That's the one thing, though, you do have to remember, is that when you're studying prophecy, you better go to Israel and see how it affects them. When people seek to make their country or their philosophy the part of prophecy and it leaves out Israel, you can pretty well chalk it up. Their prophecy is going in the wrong direction. And their understanding of Scripture is going in the wrong direction. And you may want to just get out of that group as quickly as you can. Scriptures always centers or involves Israel in prophecy. Again, there were other powers in the days this was written, but it's written in accordance to its effect on the Jewish people. I was talking to a man one day, and he told me that after studying Scripture, he knew that the Lord is coming in the morning time when He comes. When He raptures us, we'll meet Him in the morning. So I asked the obvious question. Is it morning in America, or is it morning in Israel? I've been in Israel, and I live in the Eastern time zone here in the United States, and Israel's 7 hours ahead of me. And so what might be, for an example, 10 o'clock in the morning here is going to be 5 o'clock in the afternoon in Israel. So it takes some time to figure out what are you talking about? Okay, because there's different time zones. All the way around our 24-hour clock. And so sometimes people make a statement without even thinking it through logically. However, if that man's study is to say, I believe that the Lord is going to come in the morning time, then he has to think of Israel. Again, I repeat, prophecies that involve other countries or people are based in Scripture on how those other countries and peoples relate to the Jew or to Israel. Now, in these verses, I will try to identify the people without a lot of historical explanation. Just understand, Scriptures are predicting these people and that these things will happen during their reign. And again, it happens, proving the 100% accuracy and reliability of the Scriptures. My friend, you can go to the bank on what the Bible says is yet future. Now that takes us into verse 5 here of Daniel chapter 11. There it says, and the king of the south shall be strong, and one of his princes. And he shall be strong above him, and have dominion. And his dominion shall be a great dominion. Now the king of the south speaks of the ruler of Egypt. Again, that's a Ptolemy. North and south in the word of God is as it is in relationship to Palestine. That is why you and I are Westerners that are living here in the United States. The king is of the line of the Ptolemies, as we said, and the king is Ptolemy Soter. He declared himself king in Egypt in 304 B.C., and it continued to 283 B.C. One of his princes refers to Seleucus Nicator. He served under Ptolemy for a while in Egypt. Later, he moved on and assumed control of the north. At that time, the north consisted of Babylonia, Syria, and Media, and was the largest dominion of the time. And he declared himself king the same year as Ptolemy did in 304 B.C., however, his dominion became greater than Ptolemy's. And so that is the verse 5 beginning there. This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD or cassette tape of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name, mailing address, the radio station by which you are listening, the date of the broadcast, and a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. We also welcome your comments on the broadcast and Bible questions. Again, you may write us at the same address, which is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us on the web at www.centralbaptistocala.org. No breaks. Click to the lamp and light. Again, that web address is www.centralbaptistocala.org with no breaks. This is your announcer, Jerry Banks, saying may God's peace be with all that are in Christ Jesus.